Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. A lot of people still texting in about our Frank Oz interview. Also the interview we just did with Danny Rabbiotti, who is co-author of a book about flatulence in the animal world, which is far more fascinating than you'd think. Surely humans have the worst fart, seeing as we have the most diverse diet. I don't know enough about that. My dog lets off some stinkers. We all complain about the smell, but really it's our fault, not the poor dog. After all, it, just like us, what goes in must come out, says the bull and blanches down. Eddie says he served 21 years in the Defence Forces. I did my gas training. I can tell you, last weekend in bed, I got a god-awful smell and thought my wife farted. I told her it was very romantic, but she needed to see a doctor urgently. She replied it wasn't her. She thought it was me. I looked down the bed and saw our cat with an evil grin on his face. Little sod was smiling at me. Did Sean really mean to introduce the topic of animals farting followed by the gas board gosh networks advert? I nearly crashed the car laughing so much, as Frank. No, that was completely inadvertent. Anyway, Mairead Lavery is here. Mairead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I won't ask you about your cows. Well, there's a big lot
of, there's a whole lot of thing about that in terms of climate change.
Absolutely there
which,
is, yeah.
Given what's going on out there at the moment, makes us feel as if we're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's a perfect storm as far as farmers are concerned anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've got a really prolonged spring. Like, I don't know whether, we've a prolonged winter. We've no sign of spring, really and truly, next
yeah,
to none.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's this week it's maybe more raining than snowing.
Yeah, it's raining, but it's cold and the ground conditions are very cold, and you have to have a certain ground conditions for grass to grow, and it won't happen otherwise. And you know, if you just look around your own, people who have a garden or an apple tree, or you know, in our case now at home, we have a sycamore tree outside the house, and always by the 17th of March there'd be a big section of it that would be out in leaf. I love it, you know, because you get those first leaves and they're so bright green and they're just gorgeous. There isn't a bud broken that tree yet, and we're into the first week of April. So I mean, it's you know, farmers plan for winters that last maybe 6 months. So they plan October, November, December, January, February, March. But this year, you're talking about livestock being put indoors in August, way ahead of time. And why were they put indoors? Because the ground conditions were so poor because of all the rain in August that they couldn't keep them out because they were destroying the place. So they put them in and they started eating into the silage. Now, most farmers thought, OK, we'll manage that. We'll get a chance to make some round bale silage during August or during September or October. But that never happened. Didn't get around, you know, ground conditions didn't allow. So grass was left out there and stock were already in eating silage that they shouldn't have been eating for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's a small bit like, you know, if you had visitors and they were coming for the weekend, and you know the way you'd have the house full of food and you'd have everything in and the nice stuff and the treats and the stuff you could make yourself. And they're coming for the weekend and then they decide they're going to stay for about 4 extra days.
Yeah.
And you hadn't planned for that and you can't get to the shops. Right. So you can't tell animals that on a farm. But that's actually the situation that people have found themselves in. And from what we're hearing, and, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, farmers would be very reticent. They would say nothing to nobody. They would, you know, wouldn't talk to their neighbours about it. But, I mean, we're getting in, you know, calls from people from all over the country, and they are genuinely saying how they're hurting. We've one letter this week that's going out, and, you know, it's a piece of advice to farmers right across the country. He's just, it's, you're not to see the silage shortage as a personal failure. You know, most of us work in jobs where we've a boss, or we've them, we've someone to blame, we've someone to kick the thing upstairs to. We don't have to make the decision. But when you're farming, you're working by yourself, you're working on your own place, the buck stops 100% with you. And this farmer said, he said, there's two things. He said, running out of silage is not a personal failure. At its worst, it's caused by mistakes, weather and our bad luck. These things happen to everybody. Don't take it to heart. And the other piece of advice, and I'm just conscious there's people there now driving the road, or they're in their tractor, or they're searching on the phone looking for fodder. Don't feel humiliated asking other people for silage. I can tell you for certain that they do not think that you're a failure, because at some time in the past, they have all been in the same position. Now, this time round, there's a lot of people in the position. And, do you know, uniquely what has happened? Everybody recognised there was going to be a problem up the northwest, you know, the far northwest, because stock had gone in early, stores weren't being able to be replenished because they couldn't get out in the land. And farmers from the southeast were the first to, you know, sell silage at, you know, the ordinary going rate, or hay or whatever, straw, or even donate it up the country to help those guys. Ironically, it's now that side of the country that's in trouble. And Chagas has a register set up for people to sign up if they have fodder to sell or to donate. But farmers are afraid of their lives to actually put it up for sale, because we're now in the first week of April. The ground conditions are worse than they have been since any time of the year. There's no sign of any let up. Everybody, or I mean the people who know, are saying that you're going to be taking another 3 weeks at least to do anything, to get any sort of normality back. And that is if the rain stopped in the morning, and there's no sign of it. So it is really at a critical situation.
So, I mean, and if nobody really in Ireland has silage to spare, but is there anywhere, I mean, because I imagine farmers in Britain don't have silage to spare either.
Actually, Dairygold Co-op are bringing in 2,500 tonne of fodder. They're actually in the process of doing it at the moment. So other co-ops, we expect by this evening, by the, you know, the time you know, business is finished this evening, a number of other co-ops and dairy processors in particular are going to be announcing similar purchases that they're making across in the UK. But it's really chronic for people. I was looking there, we have a piece in the paper this week that, according to Maynooth University, who have produced a 305-year record of weather in the country, the decade 06 to 015 was the wettest on record.
Really?
So, you know, is this global warming actually happening in front of our faces? Last year, the winters, the flooding, or the winters of 15 and 16 and the winters of 13 and 14 were the first and second wettest winters on record. Now, we don't have the record for this year yet because it's not over. I mean, we are still in winter mode and we're into the first week of April.
And as you say, emotionally, it must be shocking.
It is.
And,
you know,
out on people.
We have, there's a farmer there that went up on Facebook, and, you know, you don't even, you know, you don't think about that, but his cows have never been thinner. He did everything right. And he was asking people, I think we sent it in to Claire, he was actually asking people to retweet him, just to kind of nearly console him. Now, the result was that he got in, you know, offers of help from around the country. But people are watching their own back wall, and the silage back wall. Like, for farmers, Magic Day is the 17th March.
Yeah.
Magic Day is the day the stock go out on the lovely fresh grass that's shining in the sunshine, and the lambs kick up their heels, and the calves are absolutely thrilled with themselves, and the cows are queuing to get out because they're fed up with silage after being on it all winter. And Magic Day has not happened.
It
happened partially, and then stock had to be all rehoused because the ground conditions are so bad. And what's really upsetting farmers as well is that they're looking out at grass, but if they put the cows on it, they'll turn it into porridge, and they'll stop grass growing properly on those fields for the next couple of months. So what they're really looking for, I mean, is, you know, talk about saying Jude, lost causes, all the rest of it, is, you know, a couple of weeks of dry weather.
Somebody's now just after texting in there, I've 2 weeks silage left and I'm lucky to have that much. I'm now in a position where I have to put cattle out on our farms now and gamble that the weather changes. This winter has been the most stressful 6 months I've ever experienced. Any night it rains, my stomach twists and I can't sleep.
Well, I can tell you that is happening on the multitude in every parish in the country, because it's just been so prolonged. You know, sometimes you get cattle in August or October, November, and you might have to leave them in until the middle of April. But this year, there was so many stock housed from August onwards that this is where you're causing the problem. Now, the Minister for Agriculture, Michael Creed, hasn't covered himself in glory here. I mean, he seems to have come out this morning to say that there is sufficient fodder in the country. But if that was the situation, the likes of Derry Gold wouldn't be sourcing it in the UK.
Yeah.
And there'd be more than 15 applications to Chagas for this transport subsidy. The result is, you know, people are afraid to put silage up for sale in a lot of cases in case they run out of it themselves. And so, you know, it's just made everything so costly. People, you know, like at home now, we've lambs and we've all farm income. So it's not as if we're full time farming. So I'm not at all putting ourselves in that same situation as the people who are full time. You know, they've been trying to stretch fodder. They know, people know how many kgs of silage cows or dry stock eat every day. They are able to measure what's there. They've been stretching and stretching and stretching it with straw. They've been buying extra concentrates. And that's like buying fillet steak, you know, every day. It's all right to have the fillet steak or a little bit of it maybe once, you know, but you mean it's now in with all the meals. So it's racking up huge costs on farms on top of everything else. But now, even if they've stretched it, they still, you know, the stuff hasn't to be got and or only in very small amounts, not enough to keep people going for a couple of weeks. And if you just walk the ground out there at the minute, you know what it's like. It's absolutely sodden.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and the last couple of days haven't helped.
Yeah. On a lighter note, we won't continue the mizzy. The return of, is it Jeep or Geep? Did you pronounce it? No?
No, no,
okay.
No.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no.
Right, no. Okay. Okay, so if you want, vets, there's a shortage of vets as well.
That's it, yeah. Now, to make matters worse, yeah, this is has come up with, you know, there's a whole issue around the number of vets in the country. There's not enough of them, basically, and we're not producing enough of them. I think we've got about 85 places. It's as expensive as, or not as expensive, it's as costly in terms of CAO points as nearly medicine is. It's one of the highest points courses in the country. But the people that are coming out of it, they have huge career choices. They can go into research. They can go work with, you know, chemical companies. They can go work in small vet practice. And, you know, the question is, who'd like to be, you know, calving a cow at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, on a cold mountainy hillside or inside in a shed, you know, drafty old shed, when you could be, you know, in a nice, comfortable job in a lab somewhere or doing something else.
Yeah.
So there is a difficulty with the numbers, and the warning is out now that, you know, within 10 years, there could be nobody to calve cows, particularly in, you know, western parts of the country or more remote parts of the country. Now, at the moment, as I said, we've got the 85 that come out, but a lot of them are choosing to work in other areas apart from big animal practice. There's about 5 graduate places that science degrees, and you have to continue then to do another 4 years of veterinary. So it's a long time. You can head off to Budapest, and you know, at the moment you're talking about, you know, that the veterinary degree there is given in English. It costs about 11,000 a year, but accommodation and living costs are so much less than in Ireland. Like if you've got a kid in Dublin doing that, you know, you're doing veterinary, you're going to be paying very high money for rental accommodation. So when you take the accommodation and everything into account, Budapest is now nearly as cheap as having, you know, somebody study veterinary in Dublin. So at the moment, certainly the numbers are growing. There's 42 Irish nationals with foreign qualifications who were registered in 2017 versus only 11 in 2010. And there's also 331 non-national vets supplying veterinary services to the country. So maybe in a time a bit like the priests and the nuns, you know, the ones that will be here will be coming from Africa or coming from Eastern Europe or wherever to service the parishes. It's a bit like that now with the vets, with so many coming in from abroad or having been trained abroad. Now, there is talk of a veterinary course opening up in Northern Ireland. But I mean, that's only at an early stages of talks.
We have to leave it there. Mairead, thanks very much for coming into us. Mairead Lavery there from the Farmers Journal. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.